Good morning. It's a joy to speak to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm so happy that you're able to assemble this morning and to worship together. Praise the Lord for that. And to those of you that are still at home watching on the internet, praise the Lord for you, and we appreciate your interest. It's so good that we can worship the Lord, whether we're together in the flesh at the building or whether we're at home in heart and spirit. We're all one body, one church, praising God. Well, we live in tumultuous times, perilous times. The world is filled with all kinds of problems. The COVID-19 virus has infected every nation on this earth. And 100,000 people have died here in America, and their deaths have been attributed to the COVID virus. Other problems face our country too. We've been quarantined at home because of that. And our schools have been closed. Many have lost their jobs and their income. And problems have arisen between people because of these economic and social problems. We're concerned about the race relation problem in our country. And lately in the news, we've seen many things that affect our hearts and make us think about what's happening to our country. And regardless of our political association or our skin color, every one of us wants peace and love and joy and truth and justice and kindness and compassion for every human being. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and we're all sinners. And if God can unite the Jews and the Gentiles in the first century through Jesus Christ, then he can unite us today. No matter how different we are culturally or racially or ethnically, God can bring us together in Christ if we're willing to listen to him and obey his word. Today, in this tumultuous time, we need some peace. We need some hope. We need some joy. And we can find that in the Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God. Please turn in your Bible to Psalm 46. This is one of the great Psalms. All the Psalms are great. In fact, they're God's Word. This is Martin Luther's favorite Psalm. And the first verse of it is the verse that he took as the basis of his great song. The first verse says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And from that, Martin Luther in 1529, when he was facing a foreign aggression from foreign armies, when he was facing ecclesiastical powers opposing his movement, when he had been facing the plague that had devastated and taken thousands of lives, he wrote that great hymn 500 years ago that we still sing today. A mighty fortress is our God. Well, this psalm is a great psalm. And I want you to look at it with me today. The first thing it says is, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, this says that we're going to have trouble. It admits. And all life is filled with trouble. Life can be painful, discouraging, disappointing at times. We suffer. We die. We separate from God and from one another. We struggle. And life seems to be a struggle from the womb to the tomb. But the Bible says we have help. God is a refuge, a place of safety, a fortress. And he is our strength to take care of us. And he is a very present help. And that word very present means that he is available, always available, to come to us. And the types of troubles then are named in the next verses. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. This is metaphorical imagery, describing the shakeup of the earth in earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and fires and floods and all kinds of disasters and calamities. But the psalmist is saying, no matter what happens, no matter what the situation, where it is or when it is, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in this kind of trouble. And then he moves to a great thought of confidence and trust. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Previous verse talked about a hurricane, the seas swelling and foaming, beating, blowing wind. And now there's a peaceful river. Isaiah talked about God will give us peace like a river. We even sing about peace like a river. And a river can be a place that's a perpetual, continual source of peace and joy and delight. And we like to go and have our vacations and reunions and fishing trips and camping trips by the riverside. And there is a river that flows from the throne of God, the Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 1. And that river represents joy and peace and delight from the Lord. You know, in the very beginning, there was a river that flowed out of the Garden of Eden. And the river speaks of water. And water, of course, is necessary for life. And the only thing different from a garden and a desert is water. And Jesus said, He is the water of life. And he that comes to me will never thirst again if he drinks of the water that I give him. And out of his belly or his heart shall flow rivers of living water. There is a river. There is peace and joy and delight and life and happiness from the Lord. And this streams make glad the city of the city of God here, of course, in Psalm 46, written some 3,000 years ago, possibly. This city of God was ancient Jerusalem. But the city of God today is the church of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. And the church is described in the book of Acts and in the epistles as a place where members are united together, all races, all backgrounds, all both genders, all economic classes, together, one in Christ. God has created a new humanity in Christ through the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 describes that once we were separated from God and alienated from God and godless and Christless and hopeless in this world, but now in Christ Jesus, we are united with God and with all others who follow Christ. Jews and Gentiles can become one new humanity in Christ. And we are the temple of the living God. And Peter talked about us being living stones built together to be a holy temple to praise the Lord. And so there is a river, and that river is Jesus Christ today. And the waters that come from him, teachings and truths and the life that he provides, makes glad the church of God. And God is in the midst of her, the psalmist says, and she shall not be moved. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Christ. And the Bible in the book of Hebrews says, we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You know, everything in this world is going to be shaken at the judgment day. And everything in this world is also passing away with time. And the kingdoms of this world, the past, are gone. And governments rise and fall. Nations come and go. But the kingdom of God, the Bible says, is forever. Daniel talked about the Lord will establish his eternal kingdom, and it shall stand forever. And we're now in this kingdom. The Bible says we're citizens of the kingdom and ministers of the kingdom. But the Bible says that there is the eternal kingdom of God, and we will be ushered into that eternal kingdom at the coming of Jesus Christ when he makes all things new. And we are with the Lord forever and ever. God is in the midst of her. Our relationship is with God, who is our refuge and strength and our very present help in time of trouble. And the Bible says God will help her when morning comes. Morning. We sing about morning. We sing in the morning of joy. We sing, some glad morning, I'll fly away. We'll sing, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside. In the morning, Jesus is coming. And that will be a bright new morning and day. As you know, it's always darkest the hour before the dawn. And we live in darkness in this world, surrounded by darkness. Sin, disease, and death, and disappointment, and despair, and all forms of sin are committed, and every sin known to man has probably been committed in the last 24 hours in Houston. And yet, God is with his people. And there is a bright new morning coming. And Jesus said, he is the light of the world, and he that follows him will not walk in darkness. So there is a morning now for God's people. There's joy. And there's a morning coming in the resurrection when our body shall be changed into the likeness of Christ and we will be with him forever and ever. And the Bible goes on to say, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. What is the historical background of this song? We don't know. But two suggestions that sound favorable to me are in about 850 or so, when Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. He was attacked by the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Munites. And he turned to the Lord. He said, Lord, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all of Judah looked toward the Lord, and the prophet told them, do not be dismayed, do not be afraid, for the Lord will go with you. Go out to the battlefield and stand and see the salvation of God. And they went out there, but they didn't have to raise a sword. They didn't have to fight a person, because God calls those armies to commit suicide one against the other as they fought together and devastated each other. And not a man was left alive of the enemy because they had killed themselves because of their inward fighting. God gave them a great victory. Second setting for this psalm may be 150 years later, about 701. It's talked about in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19 and Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. When Hezekiah was king and Sennacherib of Assyria came, and he had conquered many nations, and now he wanted Judah, and he surrounded the city of Jerusalem with 185,000 troops. And he sent messages to Hezekiah, challenging them, mocking them. Where is your God? All the other gods of the nations have been defeated. We'll defeat your God too. Hezekiah took that letter that was sent to him from the commander of Sennacherib's army. He laid it before the Lord and he prayed. He prayed, oh Lord God, help us, help us. He depended totally on God. And in the morning, the Bible says, all 185,000 troops of the Assyrian army were dead. The angel of the Lord had destroyed. Sennacherib retreated to his home, and there he was even killed by two of his sons. God brought victories for Jehoshaphat. God brought victories for Hezekiah. And maybe that's the background of this song. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. When God acts, he's sovereign, he's Lord. No one can stand against the Lord. And then the Bible says here in verse 7, as it repeats in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts is the Lord Sabaoth. S-A-B-A-O-T-H. Sabaoth. And that word is twice in the Bible, in the King James Version, in Romans chapter 8 and James chapter 4. The Lord of Sabaoth. And it's translated here, the Lord of hosts, the host of heaven. How many angels does God have in heaven at his disposal to protect his people? The Bible even talks about a guardian angel, the angels that watch over us, that minister to us. Jesus talked about he could bring 12 legions of angels to save you from death if you wanted to. That's 72,000. But when we read the book of Revelation, chapter 7 talks about myriads of angels. That's 10,000s times 10,000s. That's 100 million, maybe more. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven, nothing can stand against the Lord of heaven. God is with us. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob. This is the God of the covenant that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says more frequently that God is the God of Jacob, and it says that he's the God of Abraham. And Jacob is the imposter, as you know. Jacob is the schemer, the deceiver, the imperfect man. And yet God is his God. I'm like Jacob. You're like Jacob. You're sinful. But God is with us. And we don't have to be perfect for God to love us and care for us and work in our life and help us. The God of Jacob. If the God of Jacob was with Israel, then the God of Jacob is with the church of Jesus Christ, for whom Jesus died and of which he is head and which he oversees and for which he is coming again. The God of Jacob is with us. Then the Bible goes on to say, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he's wrought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God is victorious. No one, no nation, no power can stand against him. Be still and know that I am God. I used to think that verse was telling me to be contemplative, meditative, to shut out all the noise and go into silence and pray. And that is a valuable thing. God sends his prophets into the desert often. Moses went to the desert. Elijah went to the desert. John the Baptist went to the desert. Jesus even one time went to the desert. Saul of Tarsus went to the desert for a while. Why? To be alone, to be quiet. Sounds of silence to listen to God. But that's not what this psalm is saying here. That's a beautiful thought. But this is saying, be still. Put down your weapons. Put down your self-confidence. Put down your trust in yourself. Quit looking to your armies because God is in control of the universe. Know that I am God. You know, we learn two great truths. There is a God, and we are not him. God will be exalted. We praise his name. Then he says again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our God. And then the word Selah. The word Selah is 74 times in the book of Psalms. It's three times in this one psalm. After verse 3, after verse 7, and here after verse 11. Selah. What's it mean? Nobody knows. We think that it was a musical connotation to tell the instruments and the vocalist in the choir to hush, wait, be quiet a moment before they kept up the music. Take a break. So we need to take a break spiritually, physically. We need to listen to God. We need to meditate on God's word. We need to let God be God. We need to trust in the Lord. Read Psalm 46. Read this great psalm. And when you read it, think of what it says about the Lord is our refuge, our strength, and our help. The God of Jacob is with us. No wonder Martin Luther would say, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours, through him with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Praise God. Praise God. Read Psalm 46 and praise God.